What we left it was with the discussion of the parameter interpretation for a logistic regression model and the comparison between a marginal logistic regression model and a logistic regression model with random effects. So I just wanted to walk through quickly on the logistic regression model with random effects. It is also, I also want to clarify the interpretation of the figure that we discussed on Monday, that there was a little bit of confusion. So the basic idea of random effect model is that there is a natural heterogeneity across individuals in their regression coefficients, and that this heterogeneity can be explained by a probability distribution. So when we specify our logistic regression model, we have a random effect distribution. Now, the random effect model is very useful when the objective is to make inference about individuals rather than the population average. And so we start discussing what is the different interpretation between the odds ratio or log odds ratio for a population average model versus the log odds ratio that you get from a random effect model. And the interpretation of these two parameters is different. And so you have to make a decision or a call between feeding a marginal logistic regression model versus a model with random effect. It really depends on what is your scientific question. A scientific question to understand the effect of the treatment on average for the population, or it's your scientific question to get a better understanding of what is the effect of a treatment on individual subjects. In that case, it's important to quantify how your population of children is different in the response of the treatment. So the parameter interpretation of a logistic regression model with random effect is that you have, basically, you can define individual level odds. So this is the odds of respiratory infection I'm just explaining you the interpretation of the parameter for the Indonesian children I've studied. And so this is the odds of respiratory infection for an individual child with random effect UConn-I, which is a vitamin A deficient. And these are the odds of respiratory infection for an individual child with random effect UConn-I, which is not a vitamin A deficient. So basically, the assumption and one of the results of the model with the logistic regression model with random effect is basically each child has his own or her own baseline odds of respiratory infection. And these baseline odds become the odds of respiratory infection when he moved to be not vitamin E deficient to be vitamin E deficient, and is multiplied by this quantity E of beta 1 star. So the odds of respiratory infection for an hypothetical child with random effect UConn-I and with a vitamin A deficiency are equal to E of beta 1 star times the odds of respiratory infection for the same hypothetical child. Okay? So in other words, E of beta 1 star is the odds ratio, but always, always, always conditional to a random effect. Okay? When we have a population average marginal logistic regression model that we discussed before, you're going to have the E of beta 1, that was the population average quantity, was basically given by the probability of Yij given 1. Probability of Yij is equal 1, given Xij is equal 1, divided by the probability of Yij equals 0, Xij equals 1. And that was the probability of Yij equal 1, Xij equals 0, divided by the probability of Yij equals 0, Xij equals 0. So this is the odds on average for the population for, let's per j equal 1 divided by the odds for x of j equals 0. And you have this formula on your slide. So you see, this is the ratio of population average odds. Okay? That will be, you will estimate what is the probability of respiratory infection for the entire subpopulation of children that are vitamin A deficient. This will be 1 minus that probability. And this is the probability of respiratory infection for the subpopulation of children that are not vitamin A deficient, you know, divided 1 minus that probability. So this is a ratio, E of beta 1 star is a ratio of individual level odds. E of beta 1 is a ratio of population average odds. Okay? Now, the comparison is that, well, if you have a continuous data, and that's what I'm going to illustrate you, when you have an individual level intercept, and you have an individual level slope, and you average this individual level intercept, individual level slope, across all populations, you get back the population average intercept and the population average slope. Here, because odds are non-linear function of the random effect, if you take this quantity and you average across the entire population, you're not going to get back beta 1. So really, if you feed a marginal logistic regression model, you're going to make inference on population average odds. If you feed a logistic regression model with random effect, you're going to make inference on individual level odds and on the heterogeneity, on the variance of the random effect. And there is no way that you're going to basically put these two things together. I mean, you're just going to estimate two different quantities. So I was explaining to you, I just want to make sure this, because I got confused myself, and I want to make sure you didn't get confused. Probably you did. What this picture show is, in the book, gives a very specific numerical example. And say, let's assume that the variance of the random effect is 2. So this is basically either the distribution of the random effect. Okay? We say that the random effect u con i, as a normal distribution with mean 0 and variance 2. Okay? And so this is the distribution. And then, for each value of the random effect, basically what it says is that 95% of the children have a random effect that has between minus 2 and 2, right? Now, for each value of the random effect, we can identify the two probabilities. The probability of respiratory infection, given that particular random effect, it being vitamin A deficient, and the probability of respiratory infection, given that particular value of random effect, it being not vitamin A deficient. So let's walk together in respect to this picture again. So let's now focus on these, okay, on this particular. All right? So this is the two probability of respiratory infection for the same child with a random effect equal, I don't know, 2 point, so if you go here, okay? So let's assume that this guy has a u con i equal 2.5. So here what we have, the probability of having respiratory infection given u con i equal to 2.5 and xij equals 0. Okay? So this probability is equal to e of beta 0 star plus 2.5 divided by 1 plus e of beta 0 star plus 2.5. Okay? So this is, what is the probability that a child with random effect 2.5 means? It means that this child has a higher baseline propensity of getting respiratory infection because his parents are smokers. And so if you take, so if you can calculate E, that would be 2 plus 2.5, 1 plus 2 plus 2.5, and you will get this value of this probability, which will be approximately 60%, okay? And then the one on top, the same, so this is the same child, you see? This is the same guy. Here, what is this? This is the probability of having respiratory infection, given the random effect is a 2.5 and Xij is equal 1. Okay? And so this quantity is equal to, I'm going to write on the other side, is equal to E of beta 0 star plus beta 1 star plus 2.5 divided by 1 plus E beta 0 star plus beta 1 star plus 2.5. Okay? And so, let's say this is 0.55 and that's 0.6. I don't know. Okay? So, basically, what we are saying is that for this particular child has is a high propensity, high probability of getting respiratory infection independently from being vitamin A deficient, yes or no, and this probability gets even higher when it's vitamin A deficient, okay? And so, and we can calculate the two things for the entire population of children. Now, these one, are the population average probabilities, okay? So let's go with these hearts. This guy here, which is 0.2, is what? So this point here is the probability of yij given yij equal 1 given xij equals 0. And that is equal to E of beta 0, 1 plus E of beta 0. And this guy is the probability of yij equal 1, given xij is equal 1, and is equal to E of beta 0 plus beta 1 divided by 1 0 plus beta 1. So, sorry, I hope it's probably too messy. So yeah, now I'm focusing on these. These are the population average quantities. Okay? So they don't account in any way of an individual. So that's all an average. So the bottom line, the bottom of this one is basically the probability of having respiratory infection in the subpopulation of children that is not vitamin A deficient. So this quantity, you see, I see it's a beta 0, different than beta 0 star, this is a different value. This will be what is the relative frequency of children in the sample who are not vitamin A deficient. And then the one on top is the same thing, is the population average probability of respiratory infection in the population of children of vitamin A deficient. And you get this quantity. Okay, so it would be 0.2 and probably 0.3. Okay. Now, if you average all of these guys, so if you average all the bottom, all the stars in the bottom, you are not gonna get these guys. Okay, that's the only thing I want to point out. If you take the average of this point, you will not gonna get back the population average. Why? Well, these are non-linear functions. Okay. Did I put enough equation on top, or do you think we should put something else? Do you guys have any question about this picture? Because if you really understand what is represented there and what each of these data points means. Basically, that's all you need to know. Okay, good. All right, so now one thing that we, I went very quickly, which I think it's interesting, is that there is also a third model, in addition of the marginal logistic regression model and the logistic regression model with the random effect, there is also what we call the transition model for binary response. So that is the third model that we have available to us for binary data when there is a correlation. So basically what we do is, it's similar to the random effect in terms that instead of conditioning to a random effect and you know, allowing a random effect distribution, we simply condition on the outcome of the previous visit. So basically what we're assuming, we're saying that the logical probability of yj given having or not being, having or not having a respiratory infection at the previous visit is equal to beta 0 star star, now we have 2 star, plus beta 1 star star xij, plus alpha yij minus 1. Okay? So we are adding a covariate, which is the outcome of respiratory infection of the previous visit. This is basically third way of accounting for correlation when you have binary data. So basically what we are saying is that the chance of respiratory infection at time tij depends on explanatory variable, but also whether or not the child had infection 3 months earlier. So beta 1 star star is the change per unit change in X in the log odds of infection among children, though, which have an outcome yij minus 1 at the prior visit. Okay, so it's conditioned to the outcome of the previous visit. So it's actually interesting because E over alpha basically is an odds ratio, is the odds ratio for infection among children who did and did not have an infection at the previous visit. See, where E of alpha is coming from? Well, basically this quantity comes from by taking the probability of respiratory infection in the subpopulation of children who did not have, oh, sorry, okay, let me start again. This is the I'm taking the ratio between the probability of having respiratory infection versus the probability of not having respiratory infection among the subpopulation of children who did have respiratory infection at the previous visit. See, it's the same thinking. It's again, these are actually our population average. It's just that I take my subpopulation in a different way. Before I was defining the subpopulation with respect to the children that were vitamin A deficient and not vitamin A deficient. Now I'm doing the same thing. The two subpopulations are the children that had respiratory infection the previous visit or they did not have the respiratory infection the previous visit. And this is similar. This is the odds of respiratory infection in the subpopulation of children who did not have respiratory infection on the previous visit. So the E of alpha is the odds ratio of respiratory infection for the children who did not have respiratory infection on the previous visit. Okay? I'm going to skip the next one. So now, for with respect to the so in this way, this I give you the interpretation of the parameter alpha, but I also need to give you the interpretation of this beta 0 star star and beta 1 star star. Remember now we had the beta 0 and beta 1 marginal logistic regression model. We had the beta 0 star, beta 1 star logistic regression model with random effect. Now we have beta 0 star star, beta 1 star star transition logistic regression model. So let's see what this parameter means. And you see, the type of calculation I do under each statistical model are always the same. And so just learn the trick, and every time you have a logistic regression model, just do the same type of steps. And so then you have a very good sense of what this odds ratio means, okay? And because you can't possibly remember it. And but if you know the mechanic of how you derive the odds ratio, then you will always have very confidence on what type of things you're estimating. So the first equation, it says what is the, so basically specifies the logic of the probability of respiratory infection for the children that had vitamin A deficient, right? Xij is equal to 1. Condition 2, conditional also to the outcome of respiratory infection at the previous visit. Okay? So in this case, you see, yij minus 1 is another covariate that we are including in our logistic regression model. But because the covariate is really the outcome of the previous visit, it's something we have to be to watch for. We have to understand what we are calculating. The second equation is basically say the same thing, the probability of respiratory infection adjusted for having respiratory infection the previous visit, yes or not, for the case where the child is not vitamin A deficient. So then we can derive the two odds, okay? So this is the odds of respiratory infection for the children who are vitamin A deficient. So basically that is, so I take the, as usual, these are the probability ratio. Xij is equal to 1 all the time. And you see that is depends on yij minus 1. Okay? So you see this is the odds of respiratory infection for the children who are vitamin A deficient. But then these odds themselves can have two different values. It depends on what happened at the previous visit. If at the previous visit you did not have a respiratory infection, this goes away. If at the previous visit have a respiratory infection, you have also alpha. Okay? So the odds depends on the outcome of the previous visit. The odds of respiratory infection for children who were vitamin A deficient depend on the outcome of the previous visit. Similar, the odds of respiratory infection for children who are not vitamin A deficient depend on the outcome of the previous visit. Okay? But still, you would say that these odds are equal to these odds times E of beta 1 star. Okay? And that's this equation. This guy is equal to this guy times E of beta 1 star. Okay? So what this is telling you, see, now here you know what this means. Because what I did, I translated half English, half Italian, I don't know, what this equation means, right? So the odds of respiratory infection for an hypothetical child with the outcome of the previous visit equal to yij minus 1 with vitamin A deficient are equal to E beta 1 star times the odds of respiratory infection for the same hypothetical child with outcome of the previous visit equal to yij minus 1 without vitamin A deficient. So it's the same concept of model of random effect, because when you look at this definition for random effect, we will say for the same child with random effect you can add, right? Now it's the same thing, but instead of focusing on the random effect, we actually focus on the outcome of the previous visit. And so each child will have a different baseline of risk of respiratory infection that will depend what has been the outcome of the previous visit. And you might assume that if the outcome of the previous visit has been that he had the respiratory infection, that means that even being without vitamin A deficient, you will have higher chance of respiratory infection. So another way to say is that the outcome of the previous visit is a kind of surrogate measure for the susceptibility of that child of getting respiratory infection. So with the distribution of the random effect, so by specified distribution of random effect is one way of characterizing the heterogeneity in the population in the susceptibility of getting respiratory infection. okay? And we estimate the variance of the random effect and say, well, this population of children are very heterogeneous in their susceptibility of random effect, or in their susceptibility of getting respiratory infection. Here we do something which is slightly simple and more, I would say, you know, less comprehensive, because instead of worrying about the variability, we say that the outcome of the child's previous visit is one way to describe what is susceptibility. And so when we're going to update the odds, there will be again a ratio of individual odds that will depend on the outcome of the previous visit. So, see, it's another way of accounting for correlation, because you're updating individual level odds and not population average odds. But differently than what we did with the random effect. Okay? So these are the three models. So in summary, I gave you three models. Okay? So I gave you the marginal logistic regression model, which is what you've been used to do. Beta 1 describes the effect of exploratory variable or the chance of infection in the entire population. So E of beta 1 is a population average odds ratio. E of beta 1 is a population average odds ratio. Okay? It's a ratio of odds of respiratory infection on average for the entire population. Well, what is our option one? Option one is if the scientific question is focused on characterizing the effect of a covariate on average for the entire population, what I'm going to show you is that we have longitudinal data, we can specify a marginal logistic regression model where we're going to estimate population average odds, and then we're going to use a GEE, generalized estimating equation method, to account for the correlation within the subject. Okay? So GEE, the only situation where you need GEE is actually here. Now, I know that for continuous data you have been using GEE, but actually you didn't need to use GEE in any way. And I'll clarify that in a moment. So option number one, if your scientific question is, what is the effect of vitamin A deficiency for the entire population of children in Indonesia, we feed a marginal logistic regression model, and we're going to use a GEE to account for the correlation. If the scientific question is more focused toward the individual odds and focused toward really understanding how much information we have included in the study to characterize the predisposition of children of getting respiratory infection, then you will feed an individual, they will feed a logistic regression model with a random effect. Or, this model, I say, it's really placed between these and these, because you still can estimate population average odds, but this population average odds will be adjusted by the outcome of the previous visit. So really, you see, for example, if you take if you take a transition regression model and you fit this transition regression model all in the subpopulation of children who did not have the respiratory infection at the previous visit, so yij minus 1 is equal to 0, you really get back a population average model. I mean, that's just, you know, comment and observation. So all of three are related, but the interpretation and what we went through, and you have all the notes, is I gave you the interpretation of this guy, and that guy, and they are different, okay? And so when you are feeding a logistic regression model, you write your scientific paper, always do the steps of deriving the odds. So then you make sure that the interpretation of your scientific paper is correct. And I tell you that there are many, many, many examples in the medical literature, in the public health literature, where all these models are interpreted incorrectly. Okay, I can give you a billion of situations. It's actually very, very often that's what happens. Okay. Now, so the take-home message is that in linear models, we didn't worry about all of that. The linear model, I give you a linear regression model, I give you a model with random effect, I gave you a transition regression model, but I didn't use a V-star, right? I always use beta 0 and beta 1. And the reason is because the interpretation was always the same. And I'll show you now exactly why. For binary data, that's not true. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to give you a population average model and model with random effect and a transition model for continuous data. And I'm going to show you that these three will lead, when you average across individual, will have a regression coefficient that has the same interpretation. Okay? So if you take a linear regression model so let's assume now we have infant grow as an outcome. It's not a binary outcome, it's a continuous outcome, right? So, and you know, we've been working now with this quite extensively. So yij is the weight at age pij, I is the child, j is the visit, and we are interested in estimating a population average course, population average growth. Okay? We are modeling this as a linear function of time, and so E of yij is beta 0 plus beta 1 pij. So the average weight for all infants in the population at any time is pij. Beta 1 is the rate of change. Beta 1, say, for unit change in time, what is the change in y on average for the entire population. Okay? You know how to fit this model better than I do. You can calculate autocorrelation function, variogram, figure out the correlation structure, fit your model, do robust under error, uniform correlation structure, exponential, do whatever you like, and you can get estimates of beta 0 and beta 1 with a standard error that are correct. Okay? Now, here, for example, was one way of specifying the correlation, but you can have different ways of specifying the correlation. I'm mentioning this just because of what they have in the textbook. Okay? So, and so this is the population average model. It's the marginal linear regression model called also population average model. And that's what we've been working on it, you know, for quite some time. And so what you will get this population average curve. That's time, that's y, and you will get this curve, which will be beta 0 hat plus beta 1 hat. Okay? You will test the positive beta 0 and beta 1, which will account for the correlation, the within subject correlation. Okay? So for now, nothing new. Now then, and some people ask me about it, I'm going to say, well, now I want to do a model with random effect. Okay? And actually, I'm going to give you for the first time a model with random intercept and random slope. Until now, we only see a model with a random intercept. So what I'm saying is that yij is equal to beta 0 star. Okay, now I'm keeping the star because I'm doing a model with a random effect, plus ui 0. So I'm saying that each child has his own intercept. Okay, ui 0. But I'm also assuming that each child has his own slope, ui1. Okay? And both ui0 and ui1 are two random effects. They come from a bivariate normal distribution with mean 0. And these are the two variants of the random effect, and these are the covariances of the random effect. One note, okay? What we have done very extensively, we have done the case where ui1 is equal 0. And if you go back to your notes, we know that if you model, if you have yij given u0, which is equal to beta 0 star plus ui0 plus beta 1 star tij, where ui0 is normal, 0 v squared. This is the linear regression model with random intercept. Okay, remember that? And what we showed was that this model is mathematically identical to a marginal linear regression model with a uniform correlation structure. Okay? So remember, at that time, I didn't worry about the stars, because a beta 0 star, a beta 0, were the same thing. They have the same interpretation. Okay? So now I'm just extending this model. And so what was the hypothesis? Well, here, you see, what we are doing here, we are saying that if you take time and y, we will have like a population average curve, and then we will allow that each individual could have a different start, okay? Could have his own individual level intercept. And the v square tell us the variability in the starting point, okay? But the beauty of that is that if I take the average of the starting point, I get back the population average. Okay, so that's why we didn't worry about it. Okay, now what I'm doing with this model, I'm relaxing the assumption. I'm actually saying that if this is the population average, bless you, an individual child can have his own starting point, but can also have his own change. It can also go this way. Another child can go this way. Because you see, they not only have an individual level intercept, but we also allow variability in the slope. So that is a model, what we call the linear regression model, with random intercept and random slope. Now, we can show, and there is a show in the book, there is a proof in the book, that a linear regression model with random intercept and random slope corresponds to a marginal linear regression model. But the covariance matrix is going to be much more complicated than the uniform correlation matrix, because now we have another component. And actually, the covariance matrix will not only be different from the uniform correlation matrix, but will depend on time. Okay? So we just didn't show that correspondence, because not that to tell you anything interesting, but just keep in mind that if you have a linear regression model with random intercept only, that is equivalent to a marginal linear regression model where the correlation structure is uniform. And we cover all of that. If you have a linear regression model with random intercept and random slope, also exists the correspondent marginal linear regression model, but the covariance matrix will be much more complicated than the uniform correlation matrix, which will depend on time. But still, if you have a model with random intercept and random slope, when you're going to average out with respect to the random effect distribution, you're going to go back a marginal model where the parameter interpretation is the same. And so basically, in a linear random effect model, the regression coefficients also have a marginal interpretation. Why? Well, what I did here, these models, it's basically say, what is the expected value of yj given the two random effects? Okay? And that's this quantity. So the expected value of yij given the two random effects is equal to beta 0 star plus ui 0 plus beta 1 star plus ui 1 times tij. Okay? So this expected value is this one, right? This is how we have defined our model. And then what I do, I just take the expectation of these quantities with respect to the random effect distribution. And see, because it's a linear function, it's a piece of cake, because I get beta 0 star plus the expected value of ui 0 plus beta 1 star Tij plus the expected value of ui 1 times Tij. Okay? So this guy is this guy. This is our model. This is the expected value of yj given the two random effects. That's the force. And what I'm doing now, I'm saying, well, if I'm gonna average, take the expectation of this quantity with respect to the all the random effect, distribution of the random effect, do I'm gonna get back the population average model? And the answer is yes, because then when I take the expectation of this linear function, I have a beta 0 star plus the expectation of ui 0 plus beta 1 star tij plus the expectation of ui 1. These two guys have a 0. The expectation is equal to 0. And so I get back the population average model. Okay? And that's true when you have only random interest and when you have random interest at random slope. So the interpretation of beta 0 and beta 1 star is the same. So again, when you start with this model, basically you're going to say beta 0 star is indeed the population average intercept. But then each child differs from the population average intercept by this amount, ui 0. Beta 1 star is the population average rate, change, the population average slope, and each child deviates from the average by ui 0. Okay, so it's a much, much more natural interpretation. If we do the same thing with the logistic regression model, we go in trouble and we get everything wrong. Okay? Because it's not true that E of beta 0 star is a population average odd. E of beta 0 star is an individual odd. Okay? Individual odd. I don't know. Okay, now the same thing happens for a transition model. So, again, I just do the same thing. Now I have a yij equal to beta 0 star star plus beta 1 star star tij plus epsilon aj, and I'm assuming an autoregressive structure of the residuals. Okay, so I say that my error epsilon ij depends on the error at epsilon ij minus 1. Okay, so which is equivalent of conditioning on the outcome of the previous visit. So from this equation, I can say, so from this equation, I can say the epsilon ij minus 1 is equal to yij minus 1 minus beta 0 star star minus beta 1 star star dij. So I'm rewriting the model, say yij is beta 0 star star, beta 1 star star, plus alpha, so this one will be equal to alpha epsilon ij minus 1, and epsilon ij minus 1 is this quantity, plus zeta ij. Okay? So if I take this equation plus two equations, that's what I get. Does everyone see that? So I take epsilon ij, I replace it here. Okay, so you can this is epsilon ij is this quantity, and then I replace epsilon ij minus 1 minus, you know, as the equation on top. Okay? Yes. Yes. So glad that. Thank you. Okay? So then I'm taking the expectation, so the expectation of yij given yij minus 1, so this is the expectation of a transition model, is this quantity. But then if I take the expectation of this quantity with respect to yij minus 1, the expectation of yij minus 1 is equal to this quantity. And so this is goes away. And you go back to a population average model. Okay? So you can start specifying a linear regression model, which is a transitional model, which depends on the outcome of the previous visit. But then if you average out with respect to all possible outcome of the previous visit, you go back to a population average model. Okay? So all the regression, all the coefficients have the same interpretation. So, summarizing, and I have the same thing for the logistics. So in linear regression, you start with a marginal model for the mean, beta 0 plus beta 1 xij. Beta 1 describes the change in the average response for unit change in xij for the entire population. Xij could be time, can be another covariate, it doesn't really matter what it is. Any covariate you include in the model. In the random effect model, you specify the expected value of yij conditional to a random effect. Here I'm just giving you a model with a random intercept, but the same thing applies for random intercept and random slope. So E of yij given u con I is beta 0 star plus u con I plus beta 1 star xij. Okay? But if you take the expectation of this equation with respect to the distribution of the random effect, so you take the expectation of yj, the expectation of this expectation, because this guy is 0, you get beta 0 star plus beta 1 star, which have the same interpretation of a population average model. So beta 1 star, I think it's confusing. Beta 1 star, no, I think it's just confusing. It's again for the entire population. I'm sorry. I mean, it's both. It's for a particular subject and for the entire population. Because, you see, what we are doing here, we are saying this is the population average course. And then each subject has its own course. But the beta 1 is the same. So the rate of change for a subject is the same for the population average. Okay, so it's really both. So I would say for a particular subject and for the entire population. For the transition model, we describe the same, and beta 1 star describe the change of the average response for a unit change in xij among subjects with yij minus 1 in the previous visit. And that is it's a true interpretation. However, if you take the expectation with respect to all the possible outcomes, parameters will have the same numerical values, but they will have the same interpretation when we account for the distribution, when we average across the distribution of the random effect, or average with respect to the distribution of the previous outcome. Okay? So if you're actually going to feed this model, you're going to get different numerical values of the parameters. Okay? And they will have a different interpretation. But when you take a random effect model and you take the average of the expectation with respect to the random effect distribution, or if you take a transition model and you take you average the expectation with respect to the distribution of the previous outcome, you go back a population average model. Okay? So that's why slides only is not going to tell you the story. Okay? When this is not true, when you have a logistic regression data, you can take the expectation with respect to the distribution of the random effect, but you're not going to get back the population average of. Now, there is a simulation study that I'm just going to skip for interest of time, because the simulation study is a simply further explanation of the curve that I show you at the beginning. So that's nothing more to say. Now, in the remaining of the class, I actually now want to focus on marginal logistic regression model and the generalized estimating equation. So going back to analysis of binary data, I gave you three models: marginal logistic regression model, logistic regression model with random effect, and transition logistic regression model. These are just three ways of analyzing binary data when you have a correlation structure. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to focus now on the estimation procedures of a marginal logistic regression model. So I'm focusing on the situation where you have yij is a binary, and you have repeated measures, right? And the scientific question is the population average odds. So I'm focusing in the situation where you have the logit of probability of yij equal 1, given xij is equal to beta 0 plus beta 1 xij, but you have the problem that you have to account for the correlation. Okay? So we are in a situation where we have binary longitudinal data. We just would like to know if there is a statistically significant effect on vitamin A deficiency, on the risk of respiratory infection, on average for all the children in my population. Children that are visited for respiratory infection multiple times. So each child has a vector of measurement that will be 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0. So when we estimate beta 0, beta 1, we need to account for the within subject correlation. And how do we do that? Of course, we can always ignore it and fit the standard logistic regression model, okay? And get a standard error of the odds ratio wrong. Or we can use the GEE to estimate it. So let's assume that these are really the type of scientific question that we want. Is, for example, what is the prevalence of respiratory infection in children as a function of age? Is the prevalence of respiratory infection greater in the subpopulation of children with vitamin A deficiency? How does association of vitamin A deficiency and respiratory infection change with age? All very important scientific questions that contrast population of children. Okay? Every time you contrast population, that's probably what you do very often in any epidemiological study, is to fit a marginal logistic regression model. But then we have to tackle this situation. Now, when we had linear data, when we have continuous data, what we did? Well, we basically suffer by extending the sampling distribution to a multivariate normal distribution. So what we did, and that's what was your struggle, and we went why we suffer with matrix algebra, because we say, well, if yij, if you have a vector of continuous measurements, I can model the entire vector by using a multivariate normal distribution, and then I can specify a parametric model for the covariance matrix, and I can do maximal likelihood estimation. That's why you didn't need to use GEE for continuous data, because for when you have a longitudinal data, you can specify a multivariate distribution, a multivariate normal distribution for your vector of measurement. We always said for the last 5 weeks why my vector has a multivariate normal distribution. Remember, you know, that's what we have been doing. We always assume yi, which is a vector, let's say a dimension n times 1, as a multivariate normal distribution with mean xi beta with covariance matrix V, and then V could be, you know, uniform plus serial correlation, and so on. And then we estimate B hat and V hat by doing MLE. Okay, so we suffered 5 weeks with that, right? Now, my vector yi It's not a vector of binary, of not a vector of continuous data anymore. My vector yi, let's say that they're visited n times, will look like 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 0. Okay? So when we have just one measurement, a binary outcome, we assume in logistic regression model yi as a Bernoulli distribution. Okay? That's what we did with generalized linear model. If you have a binary outcome, you say yi as a Bernoulli distribution with mean probability p. So the biggest question is there a multivariate analog of the Bernoulli distribution? In the same way here, I move from a univariate normal distribution to a multivariate normal distribution with a covariance matrix. And the autocorrelation function is a way of estimating components of this guy. When you have a binary data and you have a vector, sure, we can do exist, and they are defined in your textbook, sampling distribution for a vector of binary data. But they are very complicated. They are not friendly. If you didn't like the multivariate normal distribution, that's worse. So why GE was a great idea? And, you know, Dr. Ziegler is the chair of the Department of Biostatistics. This is a very smart guy. What this idea was, forget about trying to specify a very complicated distribution for a vector of binary outcomes. I'm just going to introduce a generalized estimating equation, which is a way of estimating the regression coefficient, accounting for the correlation, without specifying a multivariate distribution for the vector of binary outcomes. So when you do generalized estimating equation, and that's for the topic or end of the lecture to end Monday, basically we are not specifying any Laplace function. We are not defining any Laplace function. And that's why I'm a little skeptic about what is the autocorrelation function for binary data, because it does not exist a definition of a covariance matrix for binary data. But as exists GE, probably something clever exists to account for that. So this is the idea. There is not a multivariate Bernoulli distribution, okay? I mean, there are different types of sampling distribution that handle with a vector of binary data. In fact, what I'm focusing here is our chapter 8 on the textbook. It's called Marginal Models for Binary Data. And if you see the second or third section, it gave you a very wide, very comprehensive discussion of different sampling distribution for this vector. And, you know, we do it, biostatisticians do it all the time, but if you want, you know, to practically estimate this distribution, they are not, you know, one of the most friendly distribution, okay? So then, that's why we're going to do GE, because it will allow to estimate the regression coefficient of a logistic regression model, accounting for the correlation without specifying a Laplace function. So this is a shortcut, okay? And that's what all GE is about. So one way of accounting for the correlation is through, so this is the simplest way of fitting a marginal logistic regression model, accounting for the correlation for the repeated measurements. And there is one methodology, which I'm not going to go much in details, that allow you to fit this model, and it's called alternating logistic regression. And you will do it in SCADA in lab. So alternating logistic regression is an algorithm that allow you to fit a marginal logistic regression model accounting for this odds ratio, okay? So basically, it has the same flavor of a uniform correlation model, but instead of having a uniform correlation as a uniform odds ratio. Because it basically assumes it will estimate just one. It will basically account for how many times you have the same outcome at two different visits versus the number of times you have a different outcome at two different visits. So the index I is the subject, and J, K are two different visits, at two different time points. So this marginal odds ratio tell you the product of the two joint probabilities. Okay, so this is the joint probability of having one ball at visit J at visit K times the joint probability of having zero at visit J at visit K. So you see, this is a measure of the number of times you get concordant outcomes divided by the number of times you get discordant. And so instead that you can fit this model, it gives you an estimate of gamma, this marginal odds ratio. If this marginal odds ratio is 20, it tells you that there is a within subject correlation, because it tells you that you have, it's 20 times more likely to have the same response at two different visits than have a different response at a different visit. Okay? So it's not a correlation, it's an odds, but it's a measure of the within subject concordance in the outcome. Okay? So that is the simplest way. If we want to do a marginal GC regression, allowing for a uniform correlation structure and an exponential correlation structure, robust, so something which is more fancy than just estimate this parameter gamma, then we do GEE. Okay? So when you do XTGEE, we fit a marginal logistic regression model, we estimate population average odds, accounting for a correlation I really use between quads, okay? A correlation of the repeated measurements that can have a structure which is more complicated than that. Okay? And when we will see theoretically how that works. So with respect to the marginal odds ratio, of course, a value of gamma larger than 1 indicates a positive association. So if you have, So if you have that this value is larger than 1, it means that you have, it's more likely that you have a concordant responses, that discordant responses. And if you say the gamma ij is just equal to a constant, basically you say the degree of association is the same for all pairs. So as we estimate a uniform correlation model, like aqua rho, now we can just estimate this parameter alpha. Or you can assume that the degree of association depends with time. And that's what actually what is what I was calling the logarithm. Okay, where you have that the odds is a function of the time difference. So wrapping up, actually, I'm not gonna go do this again. I refuse. I'm gonna just I wrote it up all the interpretation of all parameters for the marginal logistic regression model, for the logistic regression model with random effect, and for the transition logistic regression model, okay? So you just go and check and let me know if there is anything, if I'm consistent at least from one lecture, from one lecture to the other. So what we are gonna do on Monday, okay? So just that you know where we are going, we are gonna start by reviewing maximum likelihood estimation in logistic regression model, in Poisson regression model. And that is really the stuff that you're going to do in the 650 series as well, and you have done in the 650 series. So very briefly, I'm going to tell you again what is maximum likelihood estimate in GLM. And then I'll give you the overview of what is a generalized estimating equation of regression coefficients for a logistic regression model and also for a Poisson regression model when you have correlated data. Okay, and we will finish these with the two data analyses that you have in the book. One is the 2x2 crossover trial, and one is the Indonesian children example, where we do GE and interpret the parameters. Okay, thank you.